The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Wow. Over there, Johnny.
Wow. You know what? I'm exhausted, and here's why. Guys, not 10 minutes before we came onto the podcast air, I get a call from your favorite Polish woman over there, Miss Tara Lipinski, Kapustashi now, Mrs. Kapustashi. And she says, Johnny, we're going to Orlando in a couple of weeks. Why don't we go a day early and go to Disney World?
Yeah.
So what sort of magical mushroom sprayed powder into your face this morning?
I don't know. I was driving and I was using my voice command and it wasn't getting you correctly. And I was like realizing, Tara, calm down. You're going to talk to him in 5 minutes, but obviously you need to call him right now. And you
because
can't get
I will
a hold
forget.
Of him. It's going to be okay. And I was like, no. I got to call him right now. Got to ask him about Disney. What's happening?
I didn't even realize that was an actual option for us because I'm 33 years old. I'm staring my mid to late 30s just square in the face. I've got no business on a roller coaster.
Oh, my God. But the best thing about Disney is they're not roller coasters. You know, it's like Dumbo. We just press a little button. We can go as high as we want. We can just coast at a, low altitude. Mr. Toad's ride is one of my favorites.
When's the last time you went to Disney World or Disneyland or Tokyo Disney?
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
I think I was maybe three or four.
Oh, no.
Three,
no.
In fact.
No, I was.
My mommy was pregnant with my brother, and she probably loved that Floridian heat while she was pregnant. But I remember very specifically going on the jungle ride where you kind of float around in some obscenely herpes-filled water and they shoot a hippo.
And they're funny, though. Do you remember that? Like, all the captains of your boat, they are making jokes and they're really cheesy jokes, but they're amazing. You don't remember,
that because girls mature faster than boys. So even though I was probably three, really, I was one in comparison to your six, if that's when you were at Disney World last. So you understood inflections and things.
Unfortunately, it was not, I wasn't three the last time. I was definitely 18.
So then for sure, I don't have the same vivid memories that you do from Disney World.
I used to love Disney, though. Did you? I think you know this about me, right? Do you know the Snow White story?
I don't think I know the Snow White story.
Oh, so when I was a little girl, I was obsessed with Snow White. Hardcore obsession. I just loved her. Hated everyone else.
What was it about
Snow White?
Just
my style. I don't know. I loved her. I loved the apple. I loved her cute little dress. Whatever it was, I loved it. So I started going when I was young, three, four, five. I went every year for my birthday because I was that obsessed. And I loved Snow White. And so I would go to every show because they would have these, dance shows and musicals in front of the castle every day at 10, 11, 12, 1. And we would be there for every single one. And then the parade, of course, there was a daytime one and a nighttime one. And I'd get my seat early and I would just wave at Snow White, hoping she'd, see that I was waving at her, and I'd blow her kisses nonstop.
Notice me, Snow. Notice me.
I mean, literally, that's all I did when I went to Disney World. I was that obsessed, and then she noticed me, and
what'd she say?
She's like, oh my God. I have no idea. I don't remember, but the point was is she saw me come year after year, and then she would always wave at me. She would always blow me a kiss. And then the relationship strengthened.
Did you offer her money to come live with you? How much?
No, listen to me. So there was this other little girl that I met who had a birthday around the same time, and she'd always go, and it was crazy. Her name was Tara, and she was obsessed with Snow White as well, and we were about the same age. But Tara came from, I don't know where she came from, but she always
Germany.
Looked very put together. Compared to my South Jersey getups, I was dressed like a like little Madonna. So Snow White, her name is Tammy, would call me little Madonna Tara. And then there was the other Tara who was the normal Tara. But I would be there with my, like, crimped out, like, pigtails and headbands and dangly earrings and, like, neon outfits. I mean, same
high
person.
Tops.
Yeah.
High tops and rolled up shorts.
And I was best friends with this little girl every year at that time. And we'd both see Snow White, and she'd come over and she'd talk to us. And then, you know, she would probably talk to our parents, and she, like, learned about us a little bit. Like, oh, she skates and whatever. So over the years, I became friends with Snow White. You know, and then the harsh reality of realizing that, you know, at a certain age that Snow White wasn't, you know, just Snow White. You know, there was more to her life. If there's any kids out there listening, I'm sorry, but
there are about three of them, and they're all smarter than we are.
But anyway,
well, you know what, so honey? You have chosen to spend your life sitting next to Snow White. She is my beauty muse, after all.
I know you told me about this, but real quick, did you know that Snow White then used to come? I'm not finished my story.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's funny that you became friends with me. Mommy's talking.
So Snow White, as I said, our relationship strengthened, and she would come see me skate because I was nuts and on vacation would have to skate every morning in Orlando. And I'd write to her. Not that she'd really, I don't remember if she really wrote to me.
It went to some old bald Jewish guy in an office somewhere.
Wrote to her. And then as I got older, it was interesting. We kept in touch. Obviously I grew up, but she named her daughter, her middle name is Tara. Her daughter's middle name. Like, we actually kept in touch for
pen
years.
Pals?
Yeah, for years later. I mean, it wasn't pen pals. I mean, there was a call every once in a while. It was, like, interesting because you grow up and then you still remember that as a little girl you were obsessed with this woman, and then you realize, like, oh, it's, you know, it's not Snow White, but it's someone I really like.
Her name is Cynthia.
Her name is Tammy, but she is, you know, just as amazing as Snow White. Anyways, that's my...
Is she still down in Florida?
You know, I haven't really kept in touch with her in these... I know, it's sad. I feel like I did it for so long, and we, like, kept up the communication, and then we sort of lost touch.
All right, Rebecca... Wait, what's her name again?
Tammy, if you're listening.
Tammy, if you're listening, we're going to come to Disney World soon, and we'd like to see the 8 o'clock in the morning dance show, because Tara's obsessed.
We'll be there.
We'll be there when gates open. Just look for us.
Just Tara and Johnny in the front row waving. You'll see us. I'll dress
we're gonna
up
have
like
large
I used
foam
to as
fingers.
A kid.
God. Well, speaking of Snow White, I got drunk. No. Speaking of Snow White,
Wait,
I saw. No, I was trying to change subject. But speaking of Snow White, I watched last night. I watched Snow White and the Huntsman, mm-hmm. starring Charlize Theron as evil stepmother queen. And she really inspired me. So I've already begun looking for these full finger claw rings for the Olympics. So when I hold my microphone, I've got this evil claw. What do you think?
I'm into it.
Right?
I'm into it. I mean, it depends. But
it depends on the actual claw. But if it's a pretty claw, then we're so
yes.
into it.
If it's
so
a now I'm like, not like Edward Scissorhands.
No. It won't be scissors. It'll just be gorgeous and sort of elven and Norsk, perhaps, like my heritage. Unclear on, but it'll be a gorgeous one, and I'll have several. Also, like, I'm looking into getting a Khaleesi chain made so that I can wear this, you know, very majestic cape-holding crossbody necklace for everything. Just going full evil stepmother queen for Olympics. That's my muse.
I love it.
For this time.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, that's all I did this weekend, Johnny.
Yeah, I saw on your Insta story at Tara Lipinski that you're already on season 6.
Yes, I'm clearly obsessed and have an addiction and can't stop thinking about it all day long because Todd and I watch together. So, you know, when it hits 6 o'clock and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to turn on the TV, whatever. I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch it till he gets home. Like, I get so upset. Like, I just keep thinking about Game of Thrones. And this weekend we woke up. We put on it like one episode. We didn't really discuss what we were going to do for the day. It was a beautiful day out. 7 hours later, we're still on the couch. No food, no nothing, just like watching intently. And then we decide, okay, what are we going to do? It's Saturday night. We usually like go out to dinner. And I haven't been to Catch in LA yet. And so we made a reservation, and then we both turned to each other and was like, okay, like maybe we should just stay home ordering food and watch Game of Thrones. And like I've been wanting to go to Catch for months. Like they have this hit me dessert that you like, I don't know if you, we went there once, but like you go.
Yeah, we went to the New York one.
But I don't think we had dessert, but it's amazing.
Too drunk for dessert.
didn't get to dessert.
No.
But you hit it, it like sort of cracks open and like lava chocolate spills out and it's amazing. So, I mean, I gave up the hit me dessert for Game of Thrones and we just stayed in. And then Sunday we woke up and did the exact same thing till at like 4 o'clock. I was like, I haven't seen sunlight. Like we have to, the dog is going crazy. Like
we have to walk Dublin.
What are we gonna do? So like Dublin's like pacing back and forth with like bringing every toy he has from his box and like laying it on our laps, and we're just
notice
like,
me Snow White.
Yes. And we're just literally like can't take our eyes off the TV. So we had a fabulous weekend. We also saw that movie Mother later on Sunday night, which was really interesting. Have you seen the Jennifer Lawrence one?
No, I'm not a big Jennifer Lawrence fan. Oh. Also, I don't know who that is. So please explain to me which one she is.
You do know her. She was in Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence. I was thinking someone not Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence. I know the Hunger Games Lawrence.
So it's like this really creepy... like horror-esque type of like I mean it's just so strange. Like
it's called Mommy, you say?
I can't. It's called Mother, so you might like
Mother.
It but yes. I can't explain it because I'd give everything away. It was Darren Aronofsky who did Black Swan, who
I mean
obviously we both love that movie. So it has shades of that darkness, but it goes real far where you're like, and I like it. I love when like things get a little weird. But then at one point, I'm just like, okay.
I don't get it.
I'm not on this level.
No, Black Swan, I laughed the whole way through. It was a comedy for me. I'll show you Black Swan.
A lighter version of figure skating.
Yeah. Wait, can we talk about something that really agitated me? I texted you about it just to be sure we could talk about it today. So this won't be a shock for you. The e-games. Okay, everyone, e-games are video games that we've been trying to get our children to get off the couch to stop playing for a long time. But now e-games are being floated as a possible medal-winning Olympic sport.
Because, I mean, that's not going to happen. I don't know why you're worried about this.
Well, this is why I think it could, because the International Olympic Committee needs some money. Guys, we're getting into the Olympic corner again. I had like hives all over my body when they started talking about it. I'd heard this sort of rumor before, but then they were really talking about it on the BBC yesterday. And it apparently in 2016 it had 258 million viewers, and they're expecting it to be double that by 2020.
What?
Like video games. So here's the thing. I became aware of this as a phenomenon. When I went on that date, remember like last springtime? No, two springtimes ago, I went on that one date.
And, I went on that one date.
And he ate a burger with onions on it, and it was kind of over from then on. But anyway, like we started talking about things he enjoys, and he enjoys actually watching other people play video games because people are apparently very gifted at it. And there are all these sites and all these things that you can watch. And like they have big sponsorships. Samsung sponsors these esports. It's basically like competitive Mario Kart.
I mean, I understand it, but to be part of an Olympic Games, isn't there some sort of physical
action that has
aspect
to take
place? Of it?
Yeah,
that
it's not that
they're missing.
Like, are mathletes going to be a part of the Olympic Games? Are spelling bees going to be part of the Olympics? It's just kind of opening us up to that whole sort of realm. Like, I'm really an advanced hopscotch player. Like, am I going to be in my third Olympics as a competitor? Like, this, it makes me so angry that, like, these kids that just are really good at video games can win an Olympic medal and I never did.
It's not going to happen. I mean, you did, Johnny. Why do you say that?
Oh, I have yours, but I mean, still, like, mine that I can give to you to share, sort of, you know?
Yeah, but this is not going to happen.
I have a really stinky feeling that it could. Wait, did I ever tell you?
But isn't there, I mean, are there, like, I wonder about this with the USOC. Are there certain rules of, like, what is fitting for a so-called sport in the Olympic Games?
An Olympic Games. I mean, they're adding things every year to make it more interesting. But there has to be athletic. It's athletes.
Right. So what are those bullet points, I wonder? There has to be some sort of protocol for this, right? Like where you have to hit these certain milestones, right? Like,
you would imagine so. Is there going to be a U.S. national championship for video games?
This is weird. It's not going to happen.
I really hope it doesn't. But, you know, it's very big in Asia. And the next three Olympics are in Asia, and they were kind of being floated for Tokyo. I don't think it's been approved, so that's why they're looking at 2024 in Paris.
There should just be a separate thing, like the Gamers World Championships.
Well, they have that already. And
they have
everyone
that.
Just
okay.
is trying to make
I
money.
Mean, I'm just not really into the gaming world, so I'm a little behind here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not either. But when I went to, I told you I went to the Crunchyroll Expo, which is the anime expo in San Jose a couple weeks ago. And part of my, like, fun time was playing Mario Kart on a stage with a live audience. And while it was thrilling for fun, I can't imagine that being an Olympic sport. I mean, they all told me, the people that are really great at these video games all know the cheats. Like, they know how to cheat the game. And, like, I was a young boy once. I tried to find a way to cheat for Mario Kart so I could win all the time, and it was a thing. I was so angry, like blood boiling, that this actually made the BBC, that brought us the announcement of the end of the war or the fall of the Berlin Wall, that they're now talking about video games being a part of the Olympics. I was so agitated.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because then there are all these crazy sports like acrobatics and dance sports, like that stuff that those people that end up being backup dancers for Madonna or whoever, Beyonce, they do crazy, crazy things. And that's not a sport, but it's your whole body. And they have like 10 packs. I mean, I'd like to see the 10 pack underneath the pizza fat for these gamers.
Roller skating is still not in the Olympic Games.
Yeah. And roller skating is pretty much harder than figure skating.
It is. I mean, you're lifting these heavy weighted skates on a floor that gives you no flow or speed, and it hurts so bad to fall because you just sort of skid right up into the waxy part of that floor, and it really gives you a nice rug burn.
Imagine if you had hairy legs and you were in shorts. I'm Instagram friends with a really hot, lovely roller skater. His name's Luca Lucaroni. He's two times in a row. Luca Lucaroni. He's from Italy. So roller skating, everyone out there who doesn't follow roller skating as I do, it's really big in the warmer countries. So Italy, Spain, Portugal, Brazil, a lot of South American, Venezuela, Argentina, a lot of warmer countries are into roller skating because it still has all the beautiful aspects of figure skating with the costuming, the music, the performance, the choreography, blah, blah, blah. Plus they do triple jumps and there's pair skating. But anyway, Luca, he is a two-time and reigning world champion in singles and pairs. Like, he's won both of them the last 2 years.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get a little insight into that world. But how is that not an Olympic sport?
Yeah,
and video games is going to be.
I don't understand. I mean, I wonder if roller skating in the U.S., I mean, back in the 80s, it was such, I mean, I don't know if it's still a thing for kids, but don't you remember part of school, like, you go to the roller rink, there'd be roller skating parties. It was, like, the roller rink was a social hang out, but then also, you know, I competed in roller skating, so I feel like there was probably more programs and it was like more popular. Whereas now, I mean, I don't hear anyone going to a roller rink ever.
Mm-mm.
So I wonder if in the U.S. it's just completely, you know, really dropped off.
Yeah, I mean, they have competitors for roller skating at the Worlds and stuff, but they don't do that well. When I started watching skating on TV, and obviously where I'm from with my one traffic light, we did not have a roller rink and did not know where one was. So, you know, we took school trips to dairy farms and stuff. It's a little different. But I would watch skating on TV, and I had roller skates, as every child should and did. And I would go to the basement and try to do ice skating things in my roller skates.
It's so, so much harder.
It's so much harder. And I would jump and stuff and like really hurl myself with no training into the air. And it hurts everybody.
It does. So, I competed in it for years. And I started like roller skating for fun with all my little girlfriends. Like it was a thing my mom and all her girlfriends did was bring us to the rink. And then like obviously somehow I got into competing and I did it for years. And I stopped. I like won the preliminary nationals. And then my mom was like, okay.
Yes, you did.
We're not doing both anymore. Like, this is not my life. You've got to choose. Because we were then ice skating as well. And, I mean, I look back. Thank goodness I made the switch. One, yes. My life would have been a little bit different. And then two, thank goodness I made the switch for my body. Because if ice skating took a toll, can you imagine what roller skating does to someone's body? Like, I remember roller skating in the morning and then going to ice skate and thinking, this is, oh my God, I'm just, someone's pushing me. I'm flying. Like, it's so much easier. Anyways, speaking of roller skating, earthquakes. Last night we are watching Game of Thrones in bed and fall asleep probably around like 10:45, somehow is in the deepest sleep ever. I wake up, Todd and I bolt out of bed. The earthquake, have you been in an earthquake?
I've been in many an earthquake.
Yeah, you know the feeling. It's not like what you think, like a slight, it's like a chunk. Like, it's like this weird. It's
almost as if you are completely stationary, but everything around you is rolling. It's okay, not like a shaky shake, but a roll.
Yeah,
is how
so
I imagine
I've
it.
There's been one that I felt that was like a roll thing that I actually got on the ground because I was so like I couldn't stop the feeling that I was like, okay, just like I put my hands on the ground, like stop this rolling, like I cannot handle it. But then last night it was like a quick like 5 second chunk, like it almost just felt like they lifted the house up. And like put it back down really quickly.
Can you make that roll that earthquake noise one more time for the people in the back?
No.
It was just one more time, please.
Chunk.
Yeah.
So the funniest thing is though, we woke up and Todd obviously that was his first time ever feeling one. And aww. He thought he's like, did the shades fall? And I'm like, first thing I said was earthquake, and then I'm like sitting there waiting to see if like the big one is actually gonna like come get us finally. But he's like, oh, I think the shades just fell, and then I was like, we're staring at them. They look like they're pretty.
They're still up.
They're on there, pretty secure right now. And then he got up. I think he was like kind of out of it. He got up and went to like look. And then I thought, though, he was getting up because I was like, oh, my God, the door. Someone broke in. And for, like, 10 seconds, I really felt, like, you know that panic where you're so freaked out? And I was like, that wasn't an earthquake. That wasn't the shut. Like, someone came in the house. And I get up with my cell phone, like, ready to, like, dial someone if I need to, like, dial 911. And he's like,
you're going to go full Naomi Campbell, right, just like, throw it right at the burglar's face.
Right. I thought he was, like, going to go check. I thought he was, like, doing that to, like, walk out and check it out. And so I'm like right behind him. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't, he's like, okay, let's go to bed. And I was like full detective, full like crazed panic moment. And he was just checking if the shutters fell.
Well, you know what? Anyways. My research panel over here at WSCW Wilmington, where I record my portion of the podcast, has just researched that it was a 3.6 earthquake.
Yeah, it
that
wasn't
you
very
felt.
But, I mean, I don't think that's – I think it depends where you're at. So
that doesn't even count. That's like just like a big bowel movement.
But what's funny is like there have been other ones that you think you feel and then you look and there was one. This one woke us up out of a dead sleep. My friend texts me. Chelsea texts me like immediately. She's like, did you feel that? So I don't know if it's like where you are in relation to it. Also, my house is like on the Santa Monica fault line. So that's exciting.
Super smart. Hence, Johnny will never live in California.
I mean, it's going to come for us, I know.
No, earthquakes are terrifying. I've been in weird ones. Like, I was in one when I was in Slovenia, in Kranjska Gora, like, up in the mountains in Slovenia. It was the first time they'd had one in, like, 60 years. And, of course, I was there. The windows all fell out of the panes and stuff. And also, it was the late 90s in Slovenia, so the windows weren't, you know, really earthquake-proof at that time. And I was in the one that kind of hit New York and New Jersey a few years ago, but didn't really do much. But I've been in some doozies in Japan, and Siri will actually put off an alarm when you have 30 seconds to get to safety because there's something that hooks up with the Japanese weather service so that you get alerts when an earthquake's coming. You just kind of have to get under a table. But the worst one I was in Taiwan, and I sound like such an asshole just saying all these places I've been and been in earthquakes. But I was in Taipei, and we had a big earthquake, and the elevators in the hotel actually, not that I was on it, but we went out the next morning, couldn't use the elevators. We had to use stairs because the elevators had all sort of fallen in on each other.
That is so scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, on this very shiny moment, we have to take a break. But when we get back, we are going to do our first ever fan interview via fan call, which is a subsection of hashtag fan corner. We'll be right back.
We're NBC. Just watch us now.
Monday on NBC Week.
You don't have to hide the tears from me, Pa.
Pa says goodbye as Laura and Almanzo face family tragedy on the season premiere of Little House, A New Beginning. Then Willie Nelson and Diane Keenan star in the strubbinest, struttinest, hay-raisinest, bull-shootinest love story you ever saw. They're on the road again. It all happens Monday on NBC Week.
Which is, your drunkest moment.
There have just been so many through my life because I'm not that person that likes to drink for fun. It's not, I love the tannins and the taste of this bottle. It's a competition. If you're going to throw down, especially with you, because you pretend you're drinking, but you like sip. If you're saying, Johnny, you're not going home to pack tonight, we're going to drink. I drink. I take it at face value. We're drinking, and the reason to drink is to get drunk. It doesn't enhance the taste of my dinner from Maggiano's or Macaroni Grill or whatever. It doesn't enhance anything. It's just, if anything, it dulls it.
Right.
I can't taste dessert, Tara, because you made me drink again. So I have a lot of them, and I can't say that my best ones are appropriate for the podcast. So I don't want to disappoint anyone out there. But I'll think of one that's acceptable anyway for next week.
And I feel
Honey, what's yours?
Are disappointing because... You know, I don't think I've ever had. Did I just do a you know?
You know, you're pretty wholesome, you know.
So I feel like you know this. I don't have any crazy ones. I'm fun. I mean, I feel like
you are.
But part of Tara's power play.
Wait, I have to interrupt you because part of Tara's power play, everyone, with the drinking. Is she wants everyone around her to be drunk so she can sip and still have the upper hand because she's the most sober. And she likes to be able to have that next day memories. This is what
so
you did.
Fun.
This is what she said. You are so, that is so your type A. I'm going to win this drunken night. I'm not going to get drunk. So screw all of you because I told you to get drunk. You're going to get drunk.
But how
That's
about
how
this?
You play.
I mean, I get tipsy so fast.
Real fast, like a glass and a half,
like a
glass, let's say.
So I'm feeling it very early on, and I feel like I'm never, you know, drunk and out of control, but I feel like I have what is my drunk Tara personality? You know this better than
you have
anyone.
You have a happy buzz. It almost feels very like if Blossom, that television show from the 90s, if she got drunk sometime and just got that happy drunk where she sort of glamorously wiggles around a party, but you know she's still far superior to you because she isn't as drunk as you are. Because I get buck wild. That's how I roll. And all Todd Capps dudes, they do the same thing. Like, your wedding was fun because everyone was just shite-faced.
Yeah.
And you were just doing your little, like, buzzed wiggle.
Yeah, I like to get buzzed.
Todd Capp is funny because he will egg us on and he'll say, Johnny, no, you're getting drunk tonight. This is Rio. Johnny, you're getting drunk. No, I'm not Todd Capp. We have to work tomorrow. Johnny, you're going to get drunk tonight. And then I'll say, okay, I'll have one glass with you guys because then you guys have to go do Lover's Lane and do like date night or whatever you're going to do. And I'll have a glass with you. And that cut to me a bottle and a half deep because Todd Kapp keeps egging me on, and I don't say no to handsome men. So
I mean, Todd Kapp, it's annoying,
and he's so tall.
Though, and
he's
drinks
annoying.
He drinks like six beers, and nothing happens.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of drinking, and our fan call, we should probably call Bridget. What do you think?
Yeah, I think calling Bridget's really important.
Okay.
Hello, this is Bridget.
Hi,
Bridget.
Hi, guys.
Bridget, thank you so much for responding to our fan call.
I am so excited to be your first fan call person on the phone, so thank you for having me. I appreciate that. I know you had trillions of choices, so
we really did.
Much appreciated that you picked me.
We liked your story for many reasons. I felt when I was reading it, it was multi-layered. I mean, I loved the second part, and we'll get to that point, about sort of your next encounter at a wedding. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about, Johnny. How should we dive into this? Should we learn more about Bridget first?
Yeah, I want to learn more about Bridget, the human, the lady.
The lady.
So tell us, I mean, obviously you're Bridget, where you're from, how old you are, what you do, if you're comfortable sharing all of that.
And
if not,
yeah, just so
make
we
it
have
up.
A little, you know who we are. Don't make it up either.
Well, I'm not in the witness protection program or anything. I grew up in a small unincorporated town in western Wisconsin that's essentially a bunch of bars and a church, and to this day still doesn't have a stoplight.
Nice.
And then,
Johnny had one stoplight growing up. So.
I just had the one, so I'm a little bit more advanced. But, you know, on the East Coast versus Wisconsin, I don't know. Okay, so continue.
Okay, so then I meandered on to college in a suburb of the Twin Cities, super loved the town and stayed there, and now I live in that town with my husband of 3 years, who I've converted into a figure skating fan. He's actually taking me to the Skate America event in a couple of months.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, yes, so is he, like, was that, I mean, is he, like, a very, like, burly male sports guy?
Is he a dude, bruh?
He's been converted into a figure skating fan?
He's definitely, his favorite sport will always be Packer football, being from Wisconsin.
Oh, I love
but
this.
Being with me for this long, he's embraced figure skating. Nationals were in St. Paul a couple of years ago, and he definitely went to that with me. So I've converted him.
Does he
so
get into it? Because
appreciation.
My Todd Kapp does, you know. He was not probably the biggest figure skating fan nor viewer before he met me, but now he's like into it. Does your husband just do it to get you to the event, or does he get into it?
He actually gets into it. He listens to me rant on. I can tell him all kinds of statistics about who is this and who's their coach and who they coached before this present skater. So James actually gets into it, and he actually appreciates and he listens to what I have to say about it. So that's super cool. I appreciate that. So
okay.
Well,
a big thank you
to James. Wait, Bridget, are you going to come visit us at Lake Placid for the Skate America at the end of?
Yes. Where are you holding court?
Holding court. I mean, we'll be probably in hair and makeup and busy, but we'd love to say hello.
Yeah, you better wave at
hello.
Us.
For
hello.
Sure. For sure.
Okay, so what do you do?
I'm actually a senior marketing specialist for a construction company that's got headquarters in western Wisconsin and then has locations throughout the Midwest. So I've been doing that for the previous 5 years. Super love the guys I work for. It's family owned, and it's three sons that run the company. And just a great, we work hard, play hard, and it's a great company to work for. I super enjoy it.
Speaking of playing hard, should we get into the story, Johnny?
Yeah, I would like that because, okay, so we're going to have you recount your story. But basically what sold me on your story was the mention of drunken puke in perforated Lexus leather. That really sold me. And Tara was very sold by your story, but also the fact that you're now sister-in-law, is it? Or just friend-in-law? Despises you for...
friend-in-law, yes.
Yes. So for stealing a bouquet. So tell everyone the story and what happened to you.
Okay, so a disclaimer first, I have to throw this out there. If anybody ever goes online and, you know, Googles the drunkest towns in the United States, 8 out of 10 are located in Wisconsin, so I do have
Woo-hoo!
That point for me already. So anyway, it was 10, 12 years ago, my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, and his friend and his girlfriend and now wife, so it's two couples that are now married, they suggested, hey, let's all go to this new, very chic sushi restaurant in downtown Minneapolis. Let's grab some sushi and some drinks. Well, 22-year-old Bridget thought that, you know, Cosmos were meant to be drank by the gallon, so I just continued to order Cosmo after Cosmo because you're in a very ultra-chic,
beautiful locale. Yeah, it's like me. Bottle, not glass.
What's that?
Bottle, not glass, is how I roll.
Yes, exactly. So I just kept ordering them up to go with our lovely sushi dinner. So by the time dinner even finished, I was feeling quite toasty, and then it was suggested that we go dancing.
I'm interjecting. How long ahead have you been dating your now husband at this point?
Oh, gosh, probably maybe a year.
Okay, so he knew you well enough then.
Yeah, he knew me well enough that he probably should have stopped, but he was also having he probably should have grabbed the glass and then we switched to something lower octane, but he did not. So, James, I blame you for this when you listen to this.
Yeah, James wasn't looking out for you yet. Hopefully
he
keeps
you. For me, no.
Hopefully he keeps you within your drunken, you know, gray area now that you're married and share a life and all.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
Okay, so you're out drinking. Nobody put reins on you. You are just lit. At this point.
Totally. So then they suggest let's go dancing. And I don't have the artistry or the coordination that you two lovely people do. So I was like, yeah, let's go dancing. So I kept downing pink liquid courage known as the Cosmopolitan. It was my Sex in the City days of watching that show religiously. So
yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker will make you believe that you can do anything if you've had
right.
a Cosmo or two.
Absolutely.
You can totally
yep.
do 17-foot tall stilettos.
So we danced, and by the time we're done dancing and it's bar close, I am just foggy. Very foggy.
Now at this point, paint us the picture. It's winter in Minneapolis, is it not?
Yes.
So it's cold as ice. Like, guys, if you haven't been to Minneapolis, it's one of those places in the Middle West that has, you know, walkways so that you don't actually have to walk outside through the ice and snow because it's that cold and that treacherous. So there are these covered walkways between buildings downtown, and it's very – they're really looking out for their citizens. But anyway, are you being held up by people at this point, or can you walk on your own free will?
You know, I was kind of skating in my heels across the sidewalk back to the Lexus.
And now whose Lexus is this?
To the car, and our friend who behaved himself, which I should definitely have been doing.
Wait, so this is your friend's car. It's not even your boyfriend's car.
No, it's my his buddy's car. He drove a Lexus at the time. We called her
designated
Sexy Lexi.
Driver. Sexy Lexi.
And so designated driver. His girlfriend, were you guys friends at this point, or did you not
this
really know?
This is probably my second time ever meeting her.
Oh, that's
yeah.
fun.
Okay, good. And you made a really good impression.
How is she handling it all?
What's that?
How is she handling it all?
You know, I don't remember.
Okay, keep going.
Honest statement.
Sounds like my kind of night.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're back.
Car.
you tumble in.
Yes. And we get driving, and then disclaimer, it's now probably about 70 degrees here in Wisconsin currently, and I'm in a sweater, and I have a space here in my office. I am always cold. So I'm not quite sure why I live here, but I do. So I
because it's beautiful,
rolled down the window
covered in
snow. At the time as we get driving, and I'm like, I'm so hot. And then before I can say much more, it's sushi dinner and, you know, 20 Cosmos. Okay, maybe that's an exaggeration, but several Cosmos are coming back up, and I think I'm leaning out the window, but I'm actually leaning in. So it all came out. And the friend's girlfriend was sitting directly in front of me. So I don't know that any got in the front seat, but I don't know it didn't.
Let's just assume that there was splatter, because there always is.
But yes. I'm sure there was splatter. And
oh, my goodness.
Well, okay, so
yeah, go ahead.
So you become violently ill.
Violently is definitely the word, and there was a lot of ruckus.
Wow. I used to have a friend named Paris, and I have driven Lexus for a long time. So I know what – I like the story for this reason, because he used to get drunk, because I didn't really drink until my mid-20s, personally. And he would get drunk a lot when we were younger, and I would always be designated driver because I was, you know, preparing for the Olympics. I was super busy. And he would also – think that he was leaning outside the passenger seat, but in fact he was leaning inside and also on all fours, trying desperately to get all outside but could not. And I have been in the cleanup, rapid car detailing, of Alexis several times. But anyway, you have, you know, puke splattered all over everyone. You never get a second chance to make a first or second impression. So what happens next?
So my husband, my boyfriend at the time, not husband, and his buddy spend the next couple of hours cleaning up the car, because if it freezes, they have an even bigger mess in the morning. So
disgusting.
Oh, no.
Nobody likes reheated vomit first thing in the morning.
No one. Not anyone. So we stayed at their house that night, and it was the ultimate walk of shame the next morning after
I
got
up.
Yeah,
what's it like waking up?
Like, how'd you handle that? Like, what actually, paint us a picture. What did you look like? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my goodness. Death warmed over, possibly. And that's probably putting it nicely, is how I looked.
Mascara dripped down to nostrils, like a stiletto still sort of strapped to one ankle, but not actually on your foot. Still
definitely
in dress.
Face of makeup.
Yeah.
Wait, the girlfriend at the time, like, this is probably not, like, the best foot to start off on.
No.
her boyfriend was out, like, with a toothpick getting all the vomit out of
the perforated seat. Leather.
Yeah.
Nasty.
So, so from that moment on, you guys, like, paint this picture now, because then you went to, explain the wedding.
So then flash forward about a year, this couple gets married, and my husband's in the wedding party, and it's a big traditional giant wedding, and, you know, the wedding party gets ready the morning of, and then my husband's whisked away to pictures, and then there's the ceremony, and then more pictures. So I've been left alone now for, I don't know, 6 hours at this wedding where I don't know anybody.
Right.
So, I held court on my own.
Atta girl.
What any normal person would do from Wisconsin.
I love it. So what happened during the...
Yeah, oh, go ahead.
Go, tell me about the bouquet toss, because this is my favorite part.
Yes. So the bouquet toss comes up, and I'm thinking in my head, those two got married, and they knew each other less than me and my boyfriend did, so I'm getting this bouquet. This is mine. I don't even know why anybody else is out on the floor. This is my bouquet.
Oh, my goodness. So she tosses
it. So she tosses it, and someone else caught it. I was like, what is this? So I just confidently marched up to this person that I don't know, couldn't pick out of alignment to this day, and just grabbed it. There was some screaming and some shocked noises, and just ran back to my boyfriend at the time and just plopped down in his lap and said, I got it. When are we doing this?
Oh, my God. I love it.
How many small children did you knock out of the way getting to the bouquet, though? I'm sort of, you know, thinking of you just busting through a crowd of people and then just flapping some bitch that had taken your bouquet, had taken your future and your wedding.
She was so surprised that she had caught the bouquet. And then she wasn't even hanging on that tight. I guess it's not normal to grab a bouquet from the person. I guess it's, like, supposed to be, like, final once they catch it, but it certainly wasn't.
I mean, bouquet toss is really funny, Jenny. Even at my wedding, I don't know if you were watching,
I was in the back.
People get aggressive.
They really do. I missed the bouquet toss, and I have never really been a part of one just because I am not about that life. But wow. So now, what is the current situation with this woman, this bride that you have stolen her bouquet and ruined an early sort of dating evening that she'd had out
you
with
know,
her future husband?
Most years,
do you think
I
you're
get
the glue that holds it all together
on Facebook?
Oh,
But good news, there is actually a wedding with that same group of friends in about 2 weeks at a winery.
So I'm
confident everything will go great.
I'm confident that you will make Tara and I proud holding court at a winery.
Yes.
I hope that you don't have to be nice to any of these judgmental bitches. Because you are beautiful. And
thank you, Johnny.
Bouquet.
Tara, you were a gorgeous, gorgeous bride.
Aw, thank you. Well, we had so much fun talking to you, Bridget.
Thank you so much for being our first fan call interview. And thank you for bearing your soul for us and all of the trillions that listen to us.
Yeah, and we'll see you in Lake Placid then.
See you in Lake Placid, and I do hope when I listen to the podcast, you expose your drunkest moments, because that was part of the deal.
That is true. I mean,
oh, that was true. Sorry, I Instagrammed that. I think I was on Ambien already. But with Tara and I will work on it. We will share ours. You can hold us completely accountable. And if we're in Lake Placid and we don't feel a bouquet hit the back of our heads, then I don't know if we're going to know it's you or not. So really just make sure you're forceful.
Bring your bouquet.
Okay, and bring
or
your
a Cosmo. So.
Either one. We'll look for either one.
But Bridget, thank you so much.
Now
get back to work. Thank you.
Well, that was fun, Johnny. What do you think? It was our first fan call.
I love Bridget. And I also love that Bridget had the full Western Wisconsin accent. That just, it made my day. I hear that far too irregularly. that accent. But yeah, guys, this is a new thing we're trying, and we really enjoyed it today with Bridget, this fan call with a K. As always, you can reach out to us on our social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny, if you want to direct message us your answer for this week's fan call question. So basically what happens, honey, right, is that we give this question, we give you the weekend to figure out if you want to be a part of this or not. And then from the millions of entries, we choose one that's our favorite. And you get interviewed right here on the podcast. Correct?
Yes. And what's our new question for this coming week?
All right. So our question for this week, we want to know about your most either embarrassing or worst date that you've ever been on. And Tara and I definitely can weigh in on this and give you our stories, too. But what was like the worst one, or like that Tinder date when you just kind of sit across from each other and play with your own Instagrams but don't speak? I've seen several of those dates go down. So give us your favorite memory of the worst date of your life. And you can send us your story, your phone number, and obviously your name at our joint email that we share with the whole production team. So be careful how many proposals you give me or Tara on that email address. But it's Tara, T-A-R-A, and A-N-D, J-O-H-N-N-Y, F like fish, A-N like Nicholas, K like kangaroo, A-L-L. Tara and Johnny fan call at gmail.com. And we're waiting for all your entries so we can keep doing this. It's fun to reach out and talk to you guys. But as always, everyone, we hate closing it out, but this is the end of this week's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. As always, follow us on our social media platforms at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. Be a part of Fan Corner and get in on Fan Call. You won't regret it. You will be chosen from literally 16.8 trillion other entries that we had last week. On average, we get about, 16.6, 16.7, somewhere in there. But last week it was just hugely, hugely overwhelming with 16.8. It was really, very popular. Honey, are you super happy with Fan Call?
I am. I can't wait till next week.
Yeah, I can't wait either. But in the meantime, everyone, we wish you the best weeks. We hope you've enjoyed it. We can't wait to be back with you with an all-new podcast next week. But until then, we love you and...
Bye.
Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is filled with the sounds of happiness and the songs all the world loves to sing.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.